All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. I want to pick back up kind of where we left off. I feel like the Lord wants me to deal with these thoughts, and I believe this with all my heart. You can leave here and say that you heard from the Lord, because of the Lord, if he ever gave me a thought, he gave me some of these thoughts. I want you to keep in mind a few things that we want to pray about. Pray about, please, sometimes this spring, maybe having us a meeting and having Brother Ron Williams come and preach to us in the morning, and then have us another preacher come preach to us at night, just have morning and night services. And so just pray about that. It'd be a blessing to have preaching, amen, have church. And let's keep in mind, pray for Michael and his family as they're making some transitions and putting some bids in on houses and trying to move closer up this way, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
And so just pray and ask the Lord's will to be done, and ask God if he'd help them. And want to understand, he's the one that told Michael to move. So, amen. God will bless him. Amen. I believe that. God will bless him. Seems like there's some other things, but I can't remember, so we'll just move on.
The house over there?
Sir?
A house over there?
Yes, sir.
For sale? For the church, maybe?
Oh, yeah. I was going to get with you about that. I was going to see if I couldn't share some of my thoughts with you on that. Don't let me forget, Brother Church. I forget. Amen. I think about it. I think about it every day. Pray for our country.
Sir.
Amen. Just pray for our country. Yeah. Breaks my heart. I don't know where I was at, but somewhere today. Oh, lunch. I stopped to eat lunch, and they had TVs in there, and I seen quite a ruckus going on up there in Washington. And boy, I tell you one thing. We better learn how to get a hold of God.
That's right.
And it ain't no joking time. We better get a hold of God. This thing's about to be turned out, and God is the only hope. It's the only hope we have. Miss Stephanie, how about you giving us a word of testimony?
Well, I'm thankful that the Lord saved me. I lived a long time, like I said before, with a repeat after me salvation. I changed the outside, but my inside was horrible. And that night, Brother Rose preached, and it's like the Lord was telling me, it's your time to get saved. Do something about it. And I was listening to him talk to Michael, and I was thinking, why don't you just do that? Or he said to me, why don't you just do that and do what he's saying? And then you sent us over to the trailer, and I was so mad because I felt like I was running, but no, he kept on me. And that night when we went home and I couldn't sleep, it was like he was working with me all night. And I was going to wake David up, and the Lord said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So the next morning, I got up and went to work, and on the way there, it was like he was still dealing with me. I couldn't get away from it. And when I got to the house I was working at, that still small voice said, why don't you just get it done now? And he'll be able to get through this house. And, you know, before my knees even hit the floor, I had peace in my heart.
Sure.
And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
It's different and it's better, just like when we were singing those songs tonight. The meaning of those songs is so different to me.
Amen.
Now.
Glory to God.
And I'm just thankful for it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
She told me that one time. She said, you know, before my knees ever hit the floor, I had peace with God. I said, that's because while you're sitting on that bed, you're justified by faith. Somewhere between that bed and them floors, that faith kicked in. Peace was settled. Amen. I like it. Amen. I didn't coach her into saying that. I told her tonight I probably wanted to give a testimony, but I didn't coach her into saying that to me the other week. So I'm saying that. Well, before I even hit the floor, I had peace with God. I said, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read this. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, I want to read the whole chapter just for the sake of what it says. It's the Word of God. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I don't aim to hide the gospel from you. Then he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. That's what Paul said you are if you're going to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
Amen.
So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he... Let me read that one more time. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, Jesus said, and therefore have I spoken. Paul said, we also believe, and therefore speak. I speak because I believe. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also... Shall raise up also us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. There it is again. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I got to thinking about that today. Amen. We was talking about that depression Sunday. Now, mercy can cure depression. And you know how it's going to help me tomorrow, if tomorrow comes? Because it's renewed day by day. Amen. His mercies are new every day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now let's go back to verse 2. We talked about, verse 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We talked about that. And I want to look at not walking in craftiness tonight. Just not walking in craftiness. Paul said we don't walk in craftiness. Will you please open your ears and hear what God is saying here? This walking in craftiness is skillfulness. Paul said, I'm not exercising my skill before you. Men of God ain't using their skill, their talents, to work this thing. That walking in craftiness is the quality of being skillful or clever at doing something. I'm not trying to be clever in this pulpit. Now, keep in mind, I'm still talking about the tools of Satan. And I want to cover every one of these things that the Lord has showed me. I'm not trying to be clever. I'm not trying to outwit you. I'm not trying to outsmart you. I'm not trying to outthink you. I'm just trying to tell you what God says. And sometimes in a strange way, I thought that not walking in craftiness, I'm glad when I read that, I said, I'm glad he didn't say not walking in craziness because I'd be done. Amen. Because I got plenty of that. Amen. Amen. I can't say that. I got plenty of that left. But it's being skillful or clever at doing something. Paul said, that's not what we're about. It's ingenuity or ability in a field. That's not a bad thing. It's skill. Listen to this definition. It's skill at gaining an advantage over others. Paul said, I'm not trying to gain an advantage over you. And I'm not using my skills to gain an advantage over you. Now, let me say something, folks. There's a lot of people that are using their skills to gain advantage over us. There's a lot of people sitting in church tonight that have lost the advantage to some heretic or some hireling that has gained an advantage over them. And I see it not in the charismatic church, but I see it in the Baptist churches. I've sat there even in my 20s and 30s and watched preachers, independent, fundamental, old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, Baptist preachers sit there and work crowds. I've seen it. And they're just being clever. And they're taking advantage of people. And they get into their wallets. And they get into their wheels. They get into their inheritances. That's right. I've seen it happen. And I'm saying that because I want you to understand, I've not tried to get in anybody's wheel here. As your pastor, I'm not trying to gain an advantage over you in your life. You stop and think. I'm talking about tools of the devil. By the time I'm done, I hope you can see what I'm saying. Oh, man, I'm telling you. My stepdaddy just died, and I the thought just came to my mind. My stepdaddy just died, and he went to make out his wheel, and some of his family and other people, companions, he put stuff in his will for his stepchildren, me and my three brothers, and they argued with him. Why would you do that? Don't do that. I mean, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he said, look, they're as much my kids as anybody is. And they just made him that much more mad. You know, and I kind of wish that he hadn't have said it. Now, you know, it's got to the point to where they don't even want us at the funeral. Man. And I said, well, you know, that's fine. You know, I could be honest with you and tell you that I'm going to probably end up changing my name anyhow. Amen. Because I'm not that. That's not what I am. Amen. That was against my will and it was against the will of God. And so I don't really care to represent it. If I'm not welcome, I'm not welcome. But here's my deal. Here's what they're afraid of. They're afraid, Eric, that we might get something.
Right. Greedy.
They're afraid we might get something. The man had some silver coins. He had some gold. He ain't got a whole lot. He ain't never had enough sense to know how to handle it. I'm not bashing him. He just don't know how to handle money and stuff. He's probably had more money than all of us put together. But ain't got a pot to pee in. But he's put him up some silver and he's put him up some gold, what ain't been stolen. And he's put him up some knives and he's had tens of thousands of dollars of rolls of knives, case collector knives, and just rolls and rolls, and nice guns, shotguns, pistols, rifles. And for sure, Mama, he had that Case Double X Bowie knife, that grisly Bowie knife that he kept in a safety deposit box down at the bank. And I went down there with him before, and we went through a safety deposit box, and I've even coveted that knife because I love knives. And he's told me time and time again, when I die, you can have that knife. But they're worried to death we might get something. Look at me and my God-given eyeballs. I don't want nothing. I don't want nothing. I'm not going down there to get something. I'm not trying to see what I can get out of this man dying. I tell you what concerns me, what he stood back there in the back of this church and told me. That's what concerns me. I'm not concerned about his temporal monetary things. I'm concerned about him looking me in the eyes and saying, pray for me, man, I'm lost. That's what bothers me. And yet they'll stand that little old heretic up down there at that funeral and he'll tell everybody he's in heaven today. to be absent in the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And I hope to God somewhere along the lines, listen, I'm not judging him. I hope somewhere along the lines he did settle that thing with God. I hope to God he did, Brother Church. I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. But I couldn't preach him into either place. I'd tell people what he told me. But what I'm trying to tell you is, these people's worried about me gaining an advantage. I'm not there for an advantage. Never been in this thing for nothing like that. The only time I want an advantage is on after I finish a job, give me my money. That's all I've ever asked for. Man, very rare do I ever even look at a person that pays me and say thank you. They didn't do me no favor other than hiring me out. I thank them for hiring, giving me the work, not giving me the money. I earned the money. I deserve that. They're supposed to do that. That's mine. And I'm saying all this to get somewhere, but folks, listen, I've never tried to gain an advantage over you. I've never worried about your bank account and what I can get my hands on. I know preachers that do. I know preachers that have. They buddy up to people just to get things. I'll never forget one time, and I'm chasing these things, these thoughts as they come to mind. My pastor down there in Florida made a connection with some people that owned an old craft store. Not an old craft store, it was a really nice craft store, big old place. And they had expensive stuff in that store. And I'll never forget, they gave him an expensive gift, about $3,000 gift they gave my pastor, and he wouldn't take it. I said, why wouldn't you take that? He said, because they're lost, and I don't want them to have that over me. I said, I understand that. But this skill at gaining an advantage over people, let's look at it a little bit deeper in the Bible. Go with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3. Skill at gaining an advantage over people. I'm saying this stuff, folks, just to be able to point out some of the tools of Satan. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And here we are in a perfect environment, a sinless environment. Never a bad word, never a bad thought. Never a bad intent of the heart. Nothing. Completely sinless. Perfect. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, and didn't y'all like that prayer up there in Washington, a man and a woman? Didn't y'all like that? That little transgender God or whatever that freak was saying up there. That's where we're at in America. That's why we better get a hold of God. Amen. That stuff's coming out of Washington now. A man and a woman. Are you kidding me? Some Brahma God. Hindu junk. Well, then he said, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That's a question mark. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You see what Satan done? He gained an advantage over her with twisting the word of God. He gained an advantage over her in a sinless, perfect environment, in an environment where no sin ever was. And yet Satan gained an advantage over her just by talking, that communication. You understand what preachers do? We talk, we communicate, we say things. And we say things that God said. That's what he done. Yea, hath God said? But he took that little word game and twisted it around to the point to where he fooled her, he beguiled her, he deceived her, and it goes way beyond that. But he gained an advantage over this person. He undermined what God had said to them, and she began to think contrary to the word of God. Are you listening? Do you understand that Paul sitting there going, hey, listen, Corinthians, I'm trying to tell you what God said, and some of y'all was wanting to sit out there and start to think contrary to what I'm telling you God said. You start having other thoughts. It happens, folks. It happens here in this little old congregation. Sometimes people walk out and they got something to say. Contrary. Can I be honest with you? Because the Lord brought it up. He brought it up to me sitting over there. Can you imagine after a message like Sunday? And I'm not being ugly. I just like exposing the works of Satan. I want the works of Satan exposed in my life. I don't want him to get by with stuff in my life. But could you imagine a service like we had Sunday? I can't preach worth a lick, but I preached my heart out. But Miss Stephanie, would you believe that I sat here and I didn't get mad? I got hurt. I got mad. I didn't get mad. I got bothered. And Zach, within 5 minutes of us stopping that service Sunday, pride was being spewed. I had to sit over here as a preacher man, as a man after God's heart, and listen to people spew out pride. Pride. Pride, Miss Stephanie. And so stinking proud of it. And I sat there and went, dear God, did they not just hear what I said? That's just straight out of hell. That's a tool of Satan, man. I'm not mad at nobody. I don't dislike anybody for it. But what it does is it breaks my heart because I'm going, my God, that's exactly what I was talking about. The devil just pulled the wool over their eyes. God, they're spewing off that pride and it just shows. It's just magnified in the presence of the Lord. And I sit there and go, man, they're going to die and go to hell just within their own self, battling me, battling self, and die and go to hell with that. And it's my job as a pastor to expose it. I mean, other than that, the only thing left is to call your name and just to just point my finger in your face and go, look, it's you. It's you or it's you. And I'm not above that. I'm for them things. I had to go around my church center in Mississippi and just about lay my finger on Frankie Hall's nose and tell her what God told me to tell her. And then I told her henpecked husband what God told me to tell him. And I told Benny Wheat what God told me to tell him. And I went around that church one by one and called their name and told them what God told me to tell them. That's a hard thing, Brother Zach. Benny Wheat sat there and bowed up on me, and I seen the judgment of God just holly fall on that man. At 2 o'clock in the morning, he got up, 52 years old, got up younger than what I am today. Got up at 2 o'clock in the morning, fell over in his floor dead from a massive heart attack. And every time I'd preach Brother Church, he'd have something to say. If I was quiet, he had something to say. If I was loud, he had something to say. If I was animated, he had something to say. If it was entertaining, and I'm not here to be entertaining, but if it was entertaining to him, then he had something to say, no matter what, Brother Zach. And the only testimony the man had was that a black man saved his life. Preacher, what are you doing? I'm just trying to tell you, man, these tools of the devil. You got to be sensitive. You got to be mindful. You got to be careful. After a service where I'm trying to expose the tools of Satan, just like that, the tool shed was open. It's pitiful.
Man.
Look, if you will, at Genesis 25. Preacher, why do you do this? Because I don't want you to die and go to hell. In spite of God, I don't want nobody to die and go to hell. I'm willing to do whatever I got to do, man, to get people to see the light. Genesis 25, verse 29, we're talking about this tricking people and gaining advantage over them. Verse 29 says, and Jacob sod pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. You know them blessings that daddy's going to put on you? I want that birthright, boy. I want the blessings of the firstborn. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Hey, Kimberly, what about them bowl of beans? How about selling the blessings of God for a bowl of beans? Something that's going to just hold you over for a little while, and then that same hunger is going to hit you again in a few hours. But the birthright's gone. Jacob was sharp, buddy. He was crafty, you hear? He was a crafty dude. And he gained an advantage over his own brother for the birthright. You ever seen your pastor do anything like that to you or anybody else? Paul said, that ain't what men of God do. That's not why we're here. Jacob used his skills to overcome his brother. So what was his skills? Well, I'll tell you one of them, cooking. One of them was cooking. And when his brother come in from the field, there Jacob was cooking. And he used his talent, he used his skill to overtake his brother and steal his blessing. That's something. Went in there and put that hair on his arms. Made out like he was Esau and took the blessing from his daddy. Ain't that something? Skill, boy. You talking about crafty? Old Jacob was crafty. Let's go one more place, if you will. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to get there, church. Matthew 22:15. What's this craftiness? Matthew 22:15 says, Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. They wanted to get an advantage on him. They was going to trip Jesus up. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Hebridean, saying, Master, we know that thou art true. Ain't that something? And teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, boy, we know you're right on. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Oh, you're a good man, boy. You're doing right by us. We really appreciate you. But answer this, man. We don't know what to do. Is it right to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. Glory to God. And said, why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto them, who is this image and superscription? They said unto him, Caesar's. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. They wanted to get an advantage. They wanted to be able to walk away by trickery and say, man, he's a heretic. Y'all can't put no... Hey, they want to run over to Caesar and say, he don't respect your all. Hey, listen, man, he's ripping you off. He's not even willing to pay tribute to you. Boy, Jesus too slick for them. I said all that and pointed these out to say this. Listen, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, and that's what Paul's dealing with over there, foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? With that being said, I want you to hear something. I am your pastor and I'm your preacher. I'm not a good one, but I'm sorry. God stuck you with me. And that's not what I set up, Miss Holly. I didn't set that up. I didn't go on the internet and put in a resume. I didn't just try to candidate for this office and, and preach my little sugar stick on a Sunday and suck up to a pulpit committee. I remember when I took that church in Mississippi, I went down there to candidate. I knew God wanted me to take that church. I knew all along. They were wasting time with candidates and all that kind of stuff. And God told me to go down there and pastor that church. And I'll never forget the Sunday that I went down there and candidated, what they called candidate, and I went down there to pastor, and I preached on hell. Preached on hell. Old Brother Pat said, son, he said, don't you know you're supposed to preach that sugar stick? I said, that was my sugar stick, Brother Pat. That was my sugar stick. I didn't get here by craftiness is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm just trying to make you think for a second. And just be honest and face the truth. I was put here by the Lord God Almighty. I don't care to give you the history of everything, but God opened my eyes. And he put me here. If I'd have had my way, please don't misunderstand me. Can I be honest with you? If I'd have had my way, I would have went somewhere close to the North Carolina beaches. And I'd have set up shop and I'd have, you know, tried to candidate and put my resume in. My cousin just left his church in Mooresville. Nice place, a nice building, nice facility. He left his church in Mooresville and he took Emmanuel Baptist Church. And somebody asked him about his church over there. Has anybody filled that spot? He said no, and he gave him a website to go to and put in the resume. And I went, you've got to be kidding me. Whatever happened, folks, to people being right with God and having the mind of God, and God putting a man in there. Right. I mean, a pulpit committee, I'm not against it, but that pulpit committee ought to be full of the Holy Ghost, amen. There ought to be men of prayer that knows how to get a hold of God and knows how to listen for the voice of God. And when that pulpit committee prays and God directs them to a man, they don't need to go nowhere else. Just go get the man that God directs them to. God will put a man there if they'll let him. If not, what they ought to do is turn it into a nightclub. Get them some flashing lights, some purple lights, some pink lights. That's right. And have one of them churches. Amen. It's a nightclub church. That's what they ought to do. Because God ain't going to be in it. Don't matter what they do. They can open up a strip club. God ain't in it. God ain't in that no more. He ain't no more in them churches than he is a strip club. Don't matter what they do with it. God ain't there. But you know what, Michael? I said, man, I can take a place there at the beach. There's always work at the beach. There's always work at the beach, man. You can always go there and do some landscaping. There's always carpenter work at the beach. There's all kind of labor at the beach. And let me say something to you. Listen to me, youngins. And parents, if I'm wrong, y'all come see me after service or go ahead and see me now. But I've about had it up to here with this equal opportunity thing. You know, they try to make out like black folks ain't got the opportunities that white folks has got and white privilege and all that kind of stuff. Look at me and my God-given eyeballs. There ain't a person in America that don't have an opportunity, bless God, to put on a pair of overalls and go grab a shovel and put on their brogans and go dig a ditch. Amen, amen, amen. You want to make it in America? Learn how to work, amen. Forget college, forget the higher education, forget that stupid job, because it ain't nothing but a bunch of stupid stuff they're trying to cram down our throat. I've done heard the smart people talk, and it ain't worth listening to, amen. Amen. I've done sent two kids to college, and I know what they're getting pumped in. I know what's being told to them. They're trying to tell them how people, white people, are privileged. Let me tell you something. Let's got any black man, purple man, green man, red man in America can come strap up with me, and he can have all the privileges he wants. Amen. Amen. The same privilege I got. What is it? Good, hard labor. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Sick and tired of this stuff, man. I'm telling you right now, we've dumbed down. Listen to me. We've dumbed down our school system so everybody can have an equal opportunity. And their kids is graduating today dumber than a box of rocks. Hey, they ain't an American one, probably. They ain't a boy or girl hardly raised anymore in America by American mamas and daddies that could pass the naturalization test. You're not even able to graduate to even pass the naturalization test. Most Americans, most white boys can't even answer the naturalization test. Right. But we've dumbed down our education system to the point where everybody can pass now and get them dumb suckers out of my classroom and get them out of my life and let them go on out there and fail. But I tell you what'll work. Hey, man, you teach that sucker how to read and how to write. You teach him how to add and how to subtract. And bless God, how to dig a ditch, and that sucker can make it by the grace of God. Amen. I tell you, your grandpa, your great-grandpa, they didn't have all this higher learning. I tell you who's got higher learning. All them folks up there in Washington, every one of them graduated from Yale, Harvard, Princeton. I mean, the elite, the Ivy Leagues. That's, ain't that amazing that the people that's running this country in the ground is the smartest people in the country? But you know what you'll never take the place of? Good, hard work. Mamas and daddies, you'll never do your kid any better than teaching them how to work and work hard. Amen. Not to sit around and connive and manipulate and be crafty and try to put work at, work the system and get on top without earning it, praise God. I don't care what color you are in America. If you go out there and you're willing to work, I've been on the electrical job with Mexicans, with blacks, with whites, and every one of them had the same opportunity. What the problem is, they ain't, most of them smart enough, and I'm talking about all races, ain't smart enough anymore because they don't know how to work to go get a job at IBM. And they're mad because they can't get a highfalutin job. One of the greatest jobs in the state of North Carolina is down at SAS. SAS, check them out. James Goodnight. Man, they do everything. One of the best jobs in the state of North Carolina. They, you go to work over there, they give you free health care. Free. You and your family. You, your wife, your children, all free. The best. You got children, they got a daycare right there. They got a whole city down there in Cary, North Carolina. I mean, it's like a good night town. And you roll up down there and you got children, you go to work for them. Guess what? They got a daycare on the job where you can just bring your kids over there. They feed you your meals. Free. You get to go to work. You don't even have to leave to go. They got a cafeteria. They feed you right there on the job. They cater to you every Friday. They have catering coming in taking care of their people. 401ks, stock opportunities. They've got everything that you could possibly want. Making about $40,000 a year. And there's people down there, Michael, that's killing each other over positions. They've had about 2 to 3 murders that I know of because somebody went up, moved up somewhere else, and they've killed to get that man's job. Son, there ain't nobody killing to take that job I've done today. Ain't nobody killing over that kind of stuff.
I tell you right now,
when the cloud fails, and that's they're into the cloud, when the cloud fails, y'all people still going to need a ditch dug. They're going to still need some nails driven.
Right.
They're going to still need some good, hard labor. Right. You can't do your kids much better than just teaching them how to work. Hey, I know a lot of white people that can't. I didn't get the opportunity to go to college. I didn't get the opportunity. I'm just sick and tired of hearing some of this stupid stuff. There is equal opportunity. You apply yourself, buddy.
Right.
You get there by hard work. I don't care if it's in an office or if it's over there on a construction job. You reach the top by hard work, not by handing something to somebody. That's what daddies do to their little bratty kids when they own a business and they hand it to that little sucker to run it in the ground. He never had to work hard. All them other people sitting over there working, watching him just soar up to the top and getting everything by the time daddy retires or dies. And then the company goes to pots.
That's right.
Nothing will replace hard work, folks. Man, learn how to work. Learn how to figure out things. Learn how to use your hands, amen, to take care of your families. And right, ain't that a blessing? I don't know how that got in there, but God got it in there. Man, I don't mind anything God sticks in there. I was talking about going down there to the beach. I like to be down there at the beach. You know why? Because I like to eat fish. But more than eating them, I like to catch them. Man. And see, if I was within range of the beach, you can always, that's what I was saying, you can always go down there and find work. There's always work around the beaches. You say, how you know? Well, I lived down there in Jacksonville, Florida for about 10 years, and I remember how much work it was. Didn't pay good, but it paid enough. But I said this, Michael. God didn't call me to the beaches. God didn't call me to go down to the beach and start a church. God put me here. And I'd rather be here with you and with you and with you than anywhere in this world.
Amen.
Amen. They say some of them places, what is it, Pepperdine, California? Oh, it's beautiful. Man, you ought to see that Pacific as it's coming in, splashing on them beautiful, beautiful mountainsides out there. Just absolutely gorgeous. Hey, there's some fish out there too. It's too cold, them sharks like them waters. They might eat my kayak. But you know what? I'd rather be stuck off out here on the side of this cow pasture with you in the will of God.
That's right.
And I'm saying that for a reason. Because, Miss Holly, I could step out of the will of God and probably damn everything in my life and go get us a church wherever I wanted it. If I just make them compromises and be that little puppet and be what they were looking for. But you know what, Miss Stephanie? That'd be crafty, wouldn't it? And yet I'm want to come out here on the side of the road and just say, Lord, I'm so happy with what you gave me. I'm so content. I don't want to be at the beach. I want to be at the beach. With that being said, let's go back to walking in craftiness. How many times, just think, how many times have I ever tried to trip you up? Kimberly ought to say, when I'm serious without cutting up, when it comes to eternity, how many times has Pastor tried to trip me up? Tanya, you ought to be able to say, how many times has my pastor tried to trip me up? See, they tried to trip Jesus up. Jacob tripped up Esau. Satan tripped up Eve and Adam. How many times has your pastor tried to trip you up? How many times have I told you something, just like some of that stuff I was spewing off a while ago, that was going to hurt you if you practice that? Will it hurt you that if you teach your boys and girls how to really work, will that hurt you in them? Think about what I'm saying. See, the tools of the devil is like this, Miss Stevie. I can get on one of them little things like I just did on hard work, and people get to thinking I'm on one of my rants and raves. They think that I'm opinionated. It's not about that at all, folks. It's not about me being opinionated. It's not about my rants and raves. Stop and think about this. If you did what I just said, do you think that would hurt you and your children? I'm the one that had to sit there and listen to my boys come home. Not my boys, my boy, one of them came home. The other one's sitting there getting mad. The other one got mad, but one of them came home because he was in, what is that, sociology or something? What is it he was in? Psychology something? It wasn't worth a hoot. It was just a waste of taxpayer dollars and his time. He'd been better off with us got digging a ditch. Amen.
Man.
But they sitting there and told him how, we've tricked around and kept the black man down and kept this race down and kept the woman down. And my mind goes over and goes, hey, listen, I've worked beside of every one of these races. There wasn't nobody holding them down.
Yeah.
They had the same opportunity I did. In fact, can I be honest with you? I worked at D&W Electric Company in Jacksonville, Florida for Danny Carter. And would you believe we had a black boy by the name of Willie? And Willie was superior on them jobs. You know why? Because Willie knew electrical inside and out. And he was a journeyman. They let that black boy be a journeyman. Zach, could you imagine? You had to study and take a test, take the electric, the NEC code test. And would you believe they let that black boy have a stinking electrical journeyman's license? He earned it.
That's right.
Just like the white boys out there did. So what is that?
Opportunity, man.
Yeah.
Opportunity. He made more money. Are you kidding me? He made more money than I did. I should have went to see Danny Carter and said, wait a minute, have you forgot this is America? We have got to keep him down and take that money and give it to me and let him struggle. He made more money than a lot of the white people there.
Yeah.
And he just so happened to be black. He could have been green. He could have been a Mexican. He could have been, he was a black boy. But see, they want you to believe that, well, they don't have the same opportunity in education. Did they get to go to high school? Then they had the same opportunity in education. If he done what he was supposed to do in high school, he could make it. I wish they'd have told George Washington Carver, He didn't have no opportunities.
Yeah.
I wish they'd have told them other 12 black men that invented things in America. I wish they'd have told Egypt, nah, y'all black, y'all can't do this. All them Egyptians would have been in a mess, wouldn't he? It's just a bunch of junk, y'all. It's just a bunch of junk. I'm telling you, man, every time I watch some of this stuff on TV, I get so sick, it's pitiful. Somebody help me.
Right.
I'm telling you, it makes you about sick in your stomach. If it ain't making that man look like a little wimpy sucker, then it's putting that sucker down like he's done something wrong. I ain't done nothing wrong with nobody. I ain't done nothing wrong with nobody. I went the other day and done a job. Guess what? I done a job for a black woman. You can ask my son. She had 10 attitudes. I didn't like her. I didn't even give a flip what color she was. I didn't like her attitude. And I told him, I said, I ain't putting up with that junk. I'll leave. I ain't got to do her job. I'll leave. But you ask my son, was I rude to her? No. I was polite to her, wasn't I? I gave her extra time. I gave her my time, didn't I, Zach? When I finished my job, I went over and patronized that woman and gave her my time. Don't tell me this stupid junk. This is a bunch of crazy people talking. Everybody's got opportunities, folks. So what, you don't have an opportunity to go to Harvard? Count your blessings. Harvard's what's destroying this country. I know people that sit around and talk, and they're 100% wrong, and the bad thing is they think they're right. They think they're right. And I, little old dumb, ignorant, backwood me, I'm sitting there going, you just as wrong could be. You don't no more know what you're talking about than a man in the moon, and you just a-talking. I don't say a word. I just let them be wrong. It's wrong. Because it don't really matter what they're even talking about. Get talking about politics. Don't know about politics. Don't none of us know much about politics. We don't know what goes on up in there. We know what the news says. Don't know the truth about it. Them suckers are so crafty.
Amen.
They're crafty. Look at the mess we're in. I mean, the virus and all that. Brother John said nobody ever predicted that. Jim Stetcher did. I mean, he's a conspiracy guy. He talked about it 2 or 3 years ago, did he not? Talking about this epidemic that was going to come up and it's going to get us through this epidemic. He talked about that 2 or 3 years ago. Of course, he talks about everything in the world, so he's bound to nail one once in a while. I mean, he's got my Aunt Martha. She used to say so much stuff, and every once in a while she hit it, and I went, man, she said so much stuff about it, she's got to get something right once in a while. It's about the way he is. Did he talk about this several years ago? At least 3 years ago? He nailed it, buddy. He nailed it. How many times have I put you in harm's way? How many times have what I said put you in harm's way? I wouldn't dare teach you to hate a black person or a green person or a red person. You're to love black people. I love black people. Amen. I love them. I care for them. I got some that's precious friends. Sure. I don't dislike any race. I don't hate any race. I just get sick and tired of all the junk that I have to hear. I ain't never done nobody wrong. I don't owe nobody no money. My taxes shouldn't go to paying nobody money. My taxes shouldn't go to any white person or black person or red person, no person, lest God to sit on their porch at 1 o'clock in the day and smoke pot.
Right.
Come get in the car with me. Come on. We'll ride you down Patterson Avenue. I'll take you short up through the hood. I went through there the other day. And how many black people did we count? How many? And some of them was courting little white girls. How many did we count? Everywhere you looked, in the middle of the day, they're out there walking the streets and hanging out on the porches. What was you doing down there, Pastor? I was going down there doing some shopping for jobs. I was looking for products, materials to do work with. Just standing around, standing on the street corners, 25, 30 of them be over there just having a big time. You say, how do they afford that? But my hard work. What was it you told me one time, Brother Church? You told me one time something about, well, I hope you feel good. You just paid about 12 people's salary this year or something. You said something. I said, my God, man, don't say stuff like that to me. Amen. My son's got a job now, Matthew. He's got him a job down there, and he's getting to see taxes come out. Amen. He's getting to see them taxes come out. And, brother, listen, if, If he was sitting in here tonight, he's lost, and he'd be shouting, amen. Amen. I'm telling you. All right, God, you're going to them taxes, and I see people sitting around doing nothing. Yeah, but hey, how many times have I put you in harm's way? How many times have I endangered your life? How many times have I tried to manipulate you or get an advantage over you? Besides what the devil tells you, because the devil gets you to disagree with the preacher. The devil will get you to disagree, not see things like the preacher said it. And you'll never see it quite the way I say it sometimes. But anything he can do to keep you from agreeing with what's being said. And here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, ain't putting you in harm's way. What I'm saying is, ain't going to hurt you none. What I'm saying is, ain't going to get into your pocketbook. I ain't never poked none of y'all for money. I ain't never poked none of y'all for your goods. Amen. I've never done that. I've never worked none of that. Trust me, I was trained how to do it. I've seen it. I know how to pour mouth. I know how to get people to feel sorry for you. Man. The answer to those questions is none. I've never done anything to put you in harm's way. I've never manipulated you. I've never one time, if you'll stop and think, you'll have to say, man, I've never done anything to try to trip you up and hurt you. Never. Not one thing. All the stuff that you've ever got mad about, all the stuff that you disagree about, all the stuff that you, hey, listen, preacher's ignorant. Preacher don't understand. When I say stuff like all these things going on today, listen, all these things going on today that these doctors can't nail. They diagnose and then they re-diagnose and then they re-diagnose. See, I can make a statement like, hey, listen, folks, them are devils. You can't diagnose a devil. You can diagnose leukemia. You can diagnose cancer. You can diagnose retardation. You can diagnose something. You can't diagnose devils. They change forms. See, one time you go to the doctor and they tell you one thing. And then 6 months you go back and them devils done change forms and they start telling you something else. And they have to swap the medication. And then they tell you something else. And then I say, man, them are devils, them unclean spirits that people's got. Hey, America's full of unclean spirits. Sitting in the church, sitting out the church. Everywhere you look, the unclean spirits is rampant in the world today. And then they run down there with all these little health issues. And the doctor never can put his finger on it. And way back in the 50s, in men of God, they could put their finger on it. And the doctors had enough sense back then to say, hey, that preacher is right. And they knew how to diagnose what that preacher said. But here's the thought, Brother Church. That ain't craftiness. I'm not trying to gain an advantage with that. I'm not using no skill there. I'm willing to tick you off to tell you the truth. But here's the thing, Miss Holly. We'll walk out that door and say, Pastor's ignorant. Pastor don't understand. Pastor, look at me and my God-given eyeballs real good. Pastor understands very well. I understand very well. I understand that spiritual world. I understand clean spirits. I understand unclean spirits. I understand God. I can understand some of the things of God. I can understand some of the words of Satan. I understand exactly what I'm saying. The problem is that you let the devil bamboozle you into thinking the pastor's ignorant and unlearned. I'm telling you, that's a tool out of hell. What we are to do is say it's not for our harm. He's not trying to trip us. He's not trying to rob us. He's not trying to gain an advantage. He's trying to tell us the truth.
Amen.
Amen. I don't chalk one up for me. It ain't about me being right and you being wrong. It's about God. It's about letting God break through. It's about seeing God. It's about seeing through all this stuff. Where you get a hold of God, amen. Never get a hold of God with all this other stuff. Amen. So why is the preacher trying to get an advantage over me? For God's sakes, how can that be an advantage over you if I'm right? How could I gain an advantage over you? How can I empty out your bank account? How is that going to hurt you? How is that going to trick you up? How is that going to... Hey, man, maybe I ought to just say, you know what? These things are unclean spirits, and we're going to turn it over to God. We're going to come clean with God, and we're going to get this thing settled once and for all. God can heal anything, amen. Let's let God deal with it. Right. I told you Sunday, and I'm still standing on it. The cure for depression is the mercy of God. Man, you cannot sit around and bask in the mercy of God. It's impossible to appropriate the mercy of God. It's impossible to get up in the morning and be a participant of the mercy of God and have that mercy in your heart and on your mind and sit around in a state of depression. It's impossible. It's impossible. My deal is, if you want to get over depression, get your sorry heart right with God. Get right with God. Yes, things is going to depress you. Yes, clouds is going to roll by. But it ain't a place that you live. You're not going to live in that state. You're not going to live in that condition. It can come up on you. And old David, praise God, over there in the psalmist, he said, boy, I got to looking at them wicked people, and I got to thinking about how they prospered. And it was an Asaph. He said, man, I'm telling you, I thought, what in the world am I doing? How am I messing up? I mean, they're doing so good, and I'm just barely getting by. And he said, but oh, God, I opened my eyes and he let me see the end of their ways, and he lifted up his hands and said, blessed be God. Amen. All that stuff might look good and sound good, and it might excuse, listen, it might excuse that condemnation on your conscience, but it will never give you peace. Looking at it like that. Never. Never will there be real peace. You can cry peace, peace when there is none. And I tell you, you can have some little temporary counterfeit stuff, but there's no deep settled peace, folks. And that's what I'm trying to tell you this evening. If you'll see this thing God's way, quit disagreeing with God, and you won't necessarily just say God's a fool, God's wrong. You say that preacher's wrong. And I'm trying to tell you this evening that's a tool, because I've never tried to be crafty with anybody. I don't like that stuff. I don't like taking advantage of people. When I was lost, I didn't like taking advantage of people. Amen. When I was lost, Kimberly, and I'd be there at the schoolhouse, I might bust the windows out of the schoolhouse, but those little old poor kids and the dirty kids and the nasty kids, we didn't have no money. But praise God, Mama knew how to wash our clothes and keep them right. Yeah, man, we didn't have no money, but that old gal back there, son, she kept that wash machine going, and I'd come home, and there'd be an old clothesline, and it'd be full of clothes, and she'd take that old stick and prop it up underneath that thing to keep the clothes from touching the ground, and I'd go to school the next day and have some clean clothes, amen. Because I watched the dirty ones get made fun of. The names is going through my mind. And their faces, Miss Holly. I'll never forget old April Wingate, a black girl. You remember her? She stunk. She's ugly. She's poor. And everybody made fun of April. And as a lost boy, I felt so sorry for her. I said, man, people are not doing that. And I was always trying to be kind to her. I mean, I might have stole her lunch money if she had any. No, wait a minute, let me back up. I'd have stolen her meal pass if I could have found it. But I didn't need no meal pass. I was this stupid. I went home one day in the seventh grade, and I told my mom, I said, Mama, for some reason, every black person goes through that line. I said, they got this little brown card, and they go through the line, and they get their food, and they hand that card to that woman. She punches it for Monday, and then she punches out Tuesday, and then she punches out Wednesday. And I said, they don't never have to pay for food. And I found out it was like, you know, food stamp, free stuff, you know. And I told my mama, I said, Mama, you work hard. You pay your taxes. Will works hard. He pays his taxes. We go above and beyond. Don't you give me another dime for food. I'm getting me one of them meal cards. Said I was the only white boy in our county that had a meal card. But praise God, I took my meal card and I'd wave that thing and hand it to the lunch lady. Amen. I didn't know more. You said, why would you get a meal card? Why would you get a meal card? Because, bless God, everybody else was getting, they wasn't paying taxes. I figured we was paying taxes. I deserved one too. Amen. Raise your hand if I'm lying. Amen. Now raise your hand if I'm telling the truth. Amen. Amen. My mama works hard. She deserves a break. She shouldn't have to sit there and do what, you know. Equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Equal opportunity.
Yeah.
They get free lunch. I want free lunch. Because we pay for that business. Right. Amen. See, I was kind even as a lost boy. Considerate. Thought mama shouldn't have to pay no more. She's already paying about 15 of them to eat a day.
Right.
Amen. Preacher, you're a racist. No, I'm not a racist. I'm straight up, man. I love black people. Amen. I guess the best people I knew in Mississippi, Brother Church, the best friends I had were black as tar. I got run off my church because I took in black boys.
Yeah.
Tell me about being a racist.
Yeah.
Seeing them little black boys come out of that crack whore's house. And I told my boys, because I know what it does in Mississippi. And I know what it does no matter where you are. I said, boys, don't mess with them boys. I said, next thing you know, they'll be up here at the house. I mean, they'll just be out. And I just didn't want it. I wouldn't have wanted it if they were white kids walking down the road.
Yeah.
I just didn't want it. And one day, you know, some of the toys, Michael, goes to missing. And so I confronted them little boys. I said, hey, boys, come here. They come up. I said, you boys steal these toys? Yes, sir, we did. They should have lied, but they didn't. They stole it. Why not lie about it? But they said, yes, sir, we did. I said, boys, bring them toys back. And Stephanie, my heart broke for them little boys. We just fell in love with them, didn't we? Son, you don't fall in love with black boys in McGee, Mississippi. It's just something you don't do. And boys, they would come by, and we bought them some toys. We took them boys and bought them some toys. Said, man, here's your own. Here, have your own toys. And then see them up the road. Boys, you had anything to eat? No, sir, we ain't had no food. We'd take them and feed them. Boys, y'all ever play any ball? No, sir, we can't afford to play no ball. We went down there and took them down there to Brother Church and signed them up for the little league field. And took them down there to Walmart, bought some cleats and some practice clothes. Amen. I'm not saying we're good. I'm just saying I don't hate nobody. I'm not crafty, Miss Stephanie. I'm not manipulating. I'm not working. I'm not telling these people nothing that's going to hurt them. You used to think I was trying to hurt you. Say amen right there. You used to think I was after you. Say amen right there. Go ahead. I was trying to get you. I was going to even up the score from this pulpit, wasn't I? She used to sit there and think the same thing. No dummy. I know what she's thinking. I heard her heart speaking many a times out loud. I said, she thinks I'm against her. You know what, Miss Stephanie? These other lost people sitting in here, sometimes they think I'm against them, and I'm trying to tell you tonight, I ain't in that business.
That's right.
I'm not here to hurt you. I'm not here to trick you.
Man.
I'm not here to fool you. I'm trying to help you. But if I got to cut against your grain sometimes to do it, hey, listen, Eric, I got to talking to them old black boys about the Lord. And they said, oh, nothing. All we know is we be busting out everybody's windows in the neighborhood. But we come by this church, it's the house of God. We ain't messing with this. We ain't messing with it. No, we don't bust these windows. Now, I'm not making this up. It's the house of God. We don't throw rocks at this building. And I said, boys, won't y'all come to church? And I ain't kidding you, Brother Zach. I remember Brother Church would tell you them storm clouds out there in Mississippi. It looks like, dear God, man. I mean, woo! And black clouds coming rolling in one Wednesday afternoon. And I mean, son, they looked like you could reach up there and just bury yourself in them. And that sky opened up and it rained. And I'm telling you, I looked out there in the parking lot. It looked like about 4 inches of water standing in that parking lot. And church time's rolling around. I wasn't seeing no vehicles roll in. Finally, I seen this one. And then I seen that one. And there was about three families that came to church that night. Such a bad storm. Pouring down rain. Thundering and lightning. And here come them little black boys, barefooted as Tarzan.
soaking wet, coming to the house of God. And them little suckers sit right over there. It's amazing. Black people always sit on this side. They sit about right there. Brother Church, we had songbooks in our church that had scribbles in them from the little white kids where they took and drew their little things. Moms and dads should have beat the devil out of them from drawing in the songbook. They was songbooks that we had from the little white kids that they took crayons and they done their little stupid coloring in them books. It's a grief to God.
Yeah.
I can't stand that stuff because it's a grief to God to do that kind of stuff. And the little black boys come in over there on a Wednesday night and I preach. Miss Holly, them suckers sit there and made eye contact with me. They never drew in a book. They never pulled out a crayon. They never cleaned their fingernails. They never dug out their toenails. They never scratched they sit there and they watching me eyeball like I was a ghost. We dismissed. I said, boys, y'all come back sometime. I mean, they were locked in on the preaching. And it was just locked in. I said, come back sometime. They come back and that one little young one, 12 years old, in the second grade. Is that about right? Because he couldn't pass coming out of that crack house. He couldn't do his studies. He wouldn't focus. He wouldn't do his homework. He wouldn't pay attention. All they done was beat him every day. They beat you down there, praise God. I went in that school about having a Bible. I just lined them up out there in the hall. Teachers was beating the devil up. I said, God's here. Hey, man, God's in this school. And I ain't lying neither. Am I lying about that? I'm telling you, son, they're wearing their butts out. I said, man, praise God, I like this school. We're going to take our kids out of home school and put them in here, man. That little boy come back, Miss Holly. Sit right there. I didn't know their names. One of them was Antonio. I called them Lukey and Blue Dookie. They sit right there. And that Lois and somebody over there and fell on an altar. Weeping. And I got down there beside him, Brother Church. And I said, son, what are you doing here? He said, preacher, I need the Lord. And he began to just pour out stuff. I didn't tell him nothing. I didn't coach him. I don't coach. He began to pour out stuff, and I was sitting there 40-some years old in awe. I was shocked. I was going, my God. I mean, the stuff that he was saying, because that's stuff that he's seen in his home. And he just kept pouring that thing out. And everybody got gone. I mean, they got mad and they got gone. 20 minutes after everybody was gone, that boy was still on that altar begging God to save him. He got up and he said, I got saved. I said, son, that's good.
Man.
That's real good. And I rejoiced in it. I walked in my house, Eric. I walked in my house, and as soon as I got inside that door, my phone was ringing. I went over and picked that phone up. Preacher, I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no D niggers coming to our church. And the craftiness went out the window. I said, well, let me tell you something. This ain't your church and this ain't my church. Last time I read my Bible, this church belongs to God. He's the one that died and gave himself for it. And them little black boys ain't got a church one to go to. They ain't a church bus comes by their house. They ain't another black church that I can recommend them to. That boy got saved tonight. And I'm not about to tell him he can't be in the house of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the very one that called me to tell me that, Miss Holly, I had a cousin that was hooked up with a black woman. That black woman sat on that back row and he just loved her to death. It's just amazing. That she could come, but Chip Juki couldn't come. Preacher, what are you talking about? Man, I'm not in this thing for me. A little boy got saved. Listen, man, you wouldn't believe what trouble that brought in my life. That brought all kinds of trouble in my life. Man, they sent a dog after me for that.
brought in big dirt. You remember old dirt about 17 foot tall? We brought dirt in, he's gonna take me out. Saying, God, give me boldness that day, Brother Church. And I put that big old boy, I stood in his face and put that sucker straight into hell. And it broke. He hit that altar. He said, Preacher, they brought me in here to take you out.
I said, well, that don't surprise me none, dirt.
We had a good time. Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm in this thing for souls, man. I don't care if they're green souls, black souls, red souls, white souls. Hey,
man, I just want to see people know God.
That's right.
I'm not in this thing to hurt people. You say, Preacher, listen, if I could have found Miss Kim, if I could have found a black church, if I could have found a black church in that community that would have loved those kids and gave them the gospel, I would have tried my best to have miracles. I know how Mississippi is.
Or was.
I know how them people was. And I would have stirred that fire.
But they wasn't.
And I was responsible.
And I was responsible to stand up for them, and I was responsible to give them the truth. They was living within the shadow of our own steeple.
Ain't that right? I said, man, them little boys going to die and go to hell if somebody don't get them to God. And it cost. It cost us mightily. It cost.
You think about taking up for them. I'm just trying to tell you. You look out your window, Miss Hannah. You be in your bedroom one night, see somebody run across your window with a machete. Because they're coming after you. And they got your house surrounded, people with guns and people with machetes. And all of a sudden, your power goes out. You got a wife and three little kids, and your power goes out, and it's black in your house. And all you know is people circling around the outside of your house. Why? Because you love some little old souls. I didn't get no money off of them boys. I didn't get in their wheel.
I didn't put a notch in my belt.
Man, all I did was try to walk not in craftiness and telling the little boys the truth. I said, Preacher, what are you talking about? I'm doing the same thing in this place. I do things that crosses people's grains. I say stuff that crosses people's grains. I do stuff out of the ordinary. But Miss Stephanie, you ought to know it's not to hurt people.
That's right.
That's not my intention. It's not my intention to hurt people. Can I give you a little piece of my wife's testimony and I'll quit? She said this the other day. I ain't trying to work nothing, Miss Amber. I just been sitting there listening to her. Man, my God, she's been helping me. I hear that stuff, man. You know, and I've been sitting here, and Brother Church, I think I even said something to you that just my barrenness. Been sitting around just grieved over my barrenness. Not having any fruit. I mean, man, just getting down on myself sometimes, just not having any fruit. You want to see people get saved, Miss Hannah? I mean, man, I'm in this thing. I want to see people get saved. I want to see people live for God. I want to see people have joy and victory and peace. And I want to see that. And I'll tell a piece of her testimony. I sit over there and might just shout it out, man. Sometimes just sit there in the living room, we cry. And Michael, I'll be the first person to tell you, when my wife told me she got saved on that morning, it was heavenly. It was heavenly. But the person that I am, in the back of my mind, I said, we'll see. We'll see. I tried to rejoice a little bit. Didn't rejoice too much, did I, honey, when you made that phone call? I was standing there with Rick Rose. We could have had us a time. Me and Brother Rick Rose could have took off running. But I said, we'll see. I'm careful about doing too much. I've had way too many professions, and it kind of sits them out. And then you kind of hear them talk, and you go, man, that ain't evidence of the grace of God in a heart. That ain't evidence. And my son said to her the other day, he said, Mama, and my boy Jacob, he tests you. Wait, he tests you. You know how people test Christians. The sucker, he tests you. He tested me the other day, come up behind me. Walked up behind me, put me in a chokehold. I felt my adenoid crush. I took and just cut him. I drew blood. Son to walk up on me, I drew blood on him. He talked about it for two or three days. Dad, man, he bleeds. We'll give him a flip. To walk up behind me and put me in no chokehold. Gouge your eyeball out of your head. Try. Strong as a bull. He said, Mama, with tears. He said, it sure has touched my heart to see what
changes in your life.
Amen.
I'm right. It sure has touched my heart, Mama,
amen,
to see the change in your life. Boy, you come out doing a daddy good. I want to hear my son say that about his mama. I want him to rise up and call his blessing. Amen.
Brother John, can I make a confession? Brother John came in here and preached that little message all you women fell in love with.
She's with me. You like it, do you?
I said, man, I said, let's go get off them women. Quit bragging on them. Cuss them out a little bit. Sorry. He put all us men down and put all you women up. And I sat here and I said, man, amen. That's good, boy. Stand up, honey. Just stand up real quick. I just want everybody to see my glory. Amen. Brother John said, that's a man's glory, his wife.
Yeah.
Sit down. I sit there and I went, I ain't got much glory. I ain't got much glory. My son Jacob was sitting right back there listening to that message. It pissed him off. He's so mad he could bite a nail. He said, how's that man say that? My son's not a coward. He slammed John Asquith. That man don't have a stinking clue what he's talking about. I respect it. Because of this. He said, that man don't know the hell that woman's put my daddy through. He ain't lived in my house. He don't have a clue. Next day, he said, Dad, what's Brother John's number? I gave him his number. He called Brother John and said, you don't have a clue. That's what I respect. He called the man and told him, you don't have a clue. Well, Brother John handled his business. Brother John handled his business. The other day, I was talking to Brother John. I said, Brother John, I said, I believe my wife got the good. Y'all was up there, and he was shouting, hallelujah, man, praise God, that's good to hear. And I was just telling him some of the conversations we was having every day now. And it's real conversation, man. It ain't just making up stuff, and it ain't crafty. Stuff coming from the heart. Stuff coming from the Lord. He said, David, Brother David, he said, you remember when Jacob called me? I said, yeah, I remember. He said, wonder how he feels about that now. I said, Brother John, he's starting to raise up and call his mama blessed now. He said, yeah, he'll see her different. He said, God gave you a woman that couldn't nobody else love, wouldn't nobody else love her like you've loved her. He said, but she's your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? This is what she told me, Michael. My boy loves your daddy. My boys, all of them, hate the world of your daddy. They love Brother Church. They love these men. They love God's preachers, man. They love them. They don't get under like they should, but they love them. They respect them. Think a lot of them. Talk good about them. If they hear something like that, they go, man, daddy's went through hell down in that home. That man don't know. Daddy's trying to do right. Listen. For years, Brother Church, I'm riding down the road this old girl. And she repented. Me telling something stuff won't bother her a lot. She's like, I'm going to break out shouting. We'd be riding down the road, and all I could hear is how many times Anna's baby cried and Eric got it and walked out. My God, he went out 17 times a day. My God, he ran a marathon back there in the back. I said, baby, I'm in the front. I know what Eric's doing. I know everything that Tanya done. Michael, I don't know what it is. She just never did find no fault in you. I'm going, what about Michael? She said, oh, man, he's just locked in. My mama, every time she's ever rolled her eyes in this place, I know about it. I ain't got to look at my mama, and I know by tomorrow, my mama rolled her eyes 10 times yesterday. I know everything that was said over there in that kitchen. I know everything, Brother Church, that was said. I know how everybody's response. I know every smart remark. I know when everybody didn't reply right. I know what everybody brought. I know that Amber didn't bring enough beans to feed a mouse. And we're trying to feed a church. I heard it all. My brother Steve, he's sitting over here. My wife can tell me every stinking thing. And I'm going, hey, what about God? Did you hear anything from the church? Did you hear anything from the preacher? I ain't worried about Steve. I ain't worried about Mama. I'm not worried about Eric. I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about how hateful Amber is. I'm not worried about it. And somebody say amen right there. The nut didn't fall far from the tree. Thank you, Zach. And her grandma fixed me a cake, and I'm doing this. Amber's grandma texted the other day, Sunday, talking about how tired she was. She's going to go lay down. She's going to do all this. And I grabbed Amber's phone. I said, you need to quit worrying about all that slumber or whatever it was. I said, you need to worry about fixing my father-in-law a pound cake. And by golly, she brought me a pound cake tonight. I said, hey, ma'am, I'm going to get this on one. Hey, you need to quit doing that. Next time you need to bring my father-in-law a 44 Magnum Smith & Wesson. They got to work. She's got a 40. Thank you, Zach. I'm going to use some craftiness right there. Hey, Eric. You know how many times in the last month you got up and walked out of this church and done your little marathon back there? You know how many times? I don't either. You're still a little hateful, but... Mom, you know how many times you've rolled your eyes in the last month? You see yourself. You don't know.
She's been sick 3 weeks.
I don't know either. Right. So, Miss Tanya, you know what you've been in the last month? Michael said, oh, you want to preach aloud? It's a long ride home, boy, being a doghouse. Hey, y'all better hurry up and move that way. You can show yourself, and the ride ain't that long. What I'm trying to tell you is, she told me everything everybody was doing. You remember I made that statement in here, my wife don't know how to love you. Remember I made that statement? You know how many times I heard that? I didn't give a flip, Brother Church. I wasn't using craftiness. I was telling the truth. And that's my own wife I'm talking about. And I had to hear about that. I couldn't care less. I'm willing to pay that price because I'm not trying to be crafty. I want my wife to love you. I want my wife to love you. I want her to be a pastor's wife to you ladies.
Amen.
And I had never seen my wife be a pastor's wife to nobody in here. All I've ever done was had to hear about everybody's faults. You know what I've heard in the last month, Brother Zach? Not one bad report. Not one bad report.
Amen.
I heard a love coming out of her for you that I never heard before. Behind your back. I heard a love for you that I never heard before. Behind your back. I heard a love for you, believe it or not. All she does now is she protects these people, Brother Zach. She says thanks to protect them. And she has a burden. This is what she told me. She said, David, she said, I sat there for all these years. She said, I seen the fault in you. She said, I could see the fault in this person. I could see the fault in that person. I could see what this person done. I could see what that person done. She said, and I never could see God because I was always so busy seeing what everybody else was doing. She said, the Lord told me this. It ain't them, it's you. She said, when he opened my eyes, she said, David, she said, it was me all along.
Amen.
It was me all along.
David.
Folks, I said that because of this, and I'm done. It ain't your pastor. She thought I was against her. She could stand up. Testify and tell you 40,000 faults of mine. She lives with me. She knows me on one side. She knows everything that I do. But that boy right there, I tell you how out of context she takes a lot of stuff and how she'd take a lot of things and twist it. Why? Because that's how she saw it. No peace. Just malice and bitterness and hatred and all that stuff. Say, man, help me, baby. But then when she saw the Lord, she said, it was me all along.
It wasn't Eric running the marathon. It wasn't this person doing that. It wasn't that person. It wasn't your mama rolling her eyes. It wasn't Miss Holly picking her nose.
Although she, David, she still picked her nose, but that ain't the deal. It's me.
Ain't that a wonderful thing?
And she just like you, and I'm done.
Sometimes you walk out that door and you think I'm the enemy. Sometimes you think that I'm crazy, and you're right. And sometimes you think I'm against you. Sometimes you think, you know, I just don't understand. She did the same. She's sitting around the house testifying this stuff. And I'm going, you know what? She's no different than everybody else. Everybody else has the same thoughts. He's ignorant. He don't understand. He just don't understand. She had the same thought. Am I lying?
Folks, I'm not here for that stuff.
And I'm telling you that,
listen, look at it. Look at it. Go, is my pastor crafty? Is he doing this stuff to work me over? Is he doing this stuff to fool me? Is he trying to hurt me? Is he trying to trip me up? Is he trying to cause me to go to hell and keep me from God? Because the devil will get you to thinking otherwise.
That's right.
He'll get you to thinking otherwise. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, just for a few reasons. To see you get born again, to see the saints of God grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. I'm here because it's the perfect will of God, and you're here in the perfect will of God. Believe that. God's got people sitting here because you belong here. I went further than I wanted to, longer than I wanted to, but I want you to know something. I love you. I care about you. And I'm not here to hurt you.
Amen.
No matter what the devil says, them are tools, folks. Them are tools. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, dear God, to share this simple thought tonight on walking in craftiness. And God, I pray that you'd help our people. God, I'm trying to help people see through some things and understand some things. And God, where we can see the truth and get to God. And we can only walk in the light that we're given. And I pray, God, that you would shine your glorious light, God, into their heart and their life. And help us, God, to all come to the place where we know you and have a walk with you and walk closer with you day by day. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.